Often Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote a number of epistles to the churches, in fact, he planted many of those churches, then he would return and appoint elders in those churches. And in his letters, he would hear of teaching in the churches that maybe was a little bit off. And so some of his letters, including Colossians, specifically chapter 2 here, was his way of saying, okay, I've shared Christ with you, the hope of glory, you've received him by faith, don't add anything to your salvation. It's all about Christ. Your salvation is in him alone. And the heresy that was taking place at that time was known as the Colossian heresy. We studied this a little bit in seminary, and I looked it up again. So here's what the Colossian heresy is. It was not one single system, but it was a syncretistic mix of Jewish, pagan, and proto-Gnostic elements that promoted legalism, asceticism, angel worship, and secret knowledge. It undermined the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ, and it threatened the church with a Christ plus spirituality. Paul's answer is the same answer the church still needs. Christ alone is sufficient. Christ alone is Lord. Christ alone is the fullness of God for us. Bless you. So the Colossian heresy was, yes, Jesus is good, but then there's these things. We can observe the special holy high days and the festivals, and we can do all of that. Paul is saying to the church, no, no, no. You don't have to do all these things and add to Jesus and add to salvation. It's Jesus alone. And so in this passage, we see that. So the Christian life begins with Christ and it continues with Christ. That's what Paul's trying to communicate here. He begins this way. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Another translation says, continue to follow him. Another one says, continue to walk with him. Paul is saying, so then, as you received Christ, walk with him every day. Walk in Christ and walk with him daily. Christ is not the doorway, he is the path. As he shared with his disciples that day, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, is the hadas, is the Greek. I am the way, I am the road, I am the path to salvation. I am the path to God. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. So when we say yes to Jesus by faith, we then continue to live in him and for him. The same grace that saved you helps you daily walk with him. Same grace. It's planting time. Has anybody planted their plants yet in their gardens and in their pots and put them outside? I know we have some that we've put in pots that, oh, in fact, the Sunday school kids, yeah, didn't you bless Rhonda with some little plants in a pot, in big pots? I wasn't sure what Lane said there, but it was something about the pots, the plants. Did you guys plant some plants in a pot? Yeah. Did you? Yeah. You didn't? Okay. She didn't want to talk at that time. Did you show them a picture? Oh, she forgot. She was going to take a picture of our pots. They're on the deck right now. They're growing. The ones that you blessed her with, they're growing. They're beautiful. And this is the time when we We put little seeds in the ground. I know in our garden we plant beans and what else do we plant there? Tomatoes, but we don't put the seeds. We put the little plants in. But this is the time of year where you plant and then that seed mysteriously opens up. Actually, Jesus said the seed must die before it becomes alive. I'm paraphrasing. But we have a beautiful example of the salvation of the work of God in our lives. He plants that seed in us, and it dies, but the fruit of that seed then grows, and that's Jesus. So a commentary writer said this about we're talking about in verse 7, there are four images that we get. Verse 7, four images. And the commentator writer says this about those four. He says, for the Colossians, they were rooted in Christ the moment they received Him. You're rooted in Christ the moment you receive Him as Lord and Savior. That's where the rooted becomes planted. The seed becomes planted. This participle, meaning these four, we'll look at in a moment. This participle reaches back to that moment and goes forward to the present day and continues on into the future. Yet it is passive, for the Colossians did not root and do not now root themselves in Christ. Another did and does this. God, or God's Spirit. He's the one that roots that seed into your heart and life. And that seed is Jesus Himself. So here are the four images. Rooted, beginning with rooted. It's a once-for-all planting in Christ. Paul tells the church in Colossae to us. He says, Jesus has saved you, so now stay grounded and rooted in Christ both now and forever. Paul also wrote a letter to the church in Ephesus. And here's what his prayer for the Ephesian church was. Paul prayed for them. He says, for this reason I kneel before the Father. So he's praying for them. For whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted, here's that word again, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Here's that fullness of God we're going to see in a moment. You're filled with God Himself in and through Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit lives in you when you say yes to Jesus by faith. You're rooted by Him and for Him. So the second image we have here is built up. Okay, that's the second one. You're built up. What are we built up? Well, it's like an ongoing construction project. You're God's construction project. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul elsewhere says this, consequently, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. So there it is. You are God's construction project. You could say you're under construction. The chief cornerstone has already planted that seed of faith in you. You're an ongoing construction project, though. He's not done with you. He's building, He's renewing, He's strengthening. And in fact, that's the next image. Strengthened. Strengthened in the faith. In myself, I am weak. And I don't know if I have the strength and the know-how to walk out this thing called the Christian life. We all are. Paul said, when I'm weak, he is strong. We're strengthened by him. Psalm 18:22 says this, it is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. It's God himself. Psalm 22:19 says, but you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. And Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. So rooted, built up, strengthened. And here's the fourth image from verse 7. Overflowing. So when I think of overflowing, I think of the metaphor of a fountain. God has planted that seed of faith in you, in Christ. And what comes out of us then is bubbling over, and it's overflowing like a fountain to those around us. Because of what Jesus has done, we live as thankful people. That's the fruit of grace, is thankfulness. A church that is rooted in Christ becomes a church overflowing with thanksgiving. Paul then in verse 8, he says, this is who you are in Christ. In fact, it's mentioned at least four times in this passage, in Christ, in him. Paul says, this is who you are, strengthened, built up, rooted, overflowing. But he gives a warning, and this is where the Colossian heresy, this is where he speaks to it. He says, be careful. That's why there's warning signs, right? When we see, in fact, where did I see this? Oh, I was donating plasma. And they had the warning sign on these boxes. I don't even know what those boxes were, but they had a warning sign. I think treat it carefully or be careful, be warned, right? Let's say you're skiing at the top of a mountain and you're on a blue-colored diamond, I think they're called. What's the black? Black diamond. Black is what? That's the diamond, right? Okay. So there's a warning sign right here that says, do not go there unless you're a trained skier. And I did that. I didn't heed the warning. So here I am, just a novice skier, not very good at all. I'm snow skiing down the mountain, and I turn off without heeding the warning of that sign. I turn off onto that route, and I'm telling you, I thought I was going to die. It's like this. Do you know what a mogul is? It's a bump, big bump, and not just one bump. They're bump after bump after bump after bump. And you can't get away from the bumps. They're left, they're right, they're down. So I'm like this, and I'm by myself, and my skis are flying all over, and my poles are going. In fact, there was a rescue worker that saw me, had pity on me, and said, here, I'll help you down. Really, it's a picture of, I was rescued because I didn't heed the warning. Paul is saying to the church, heed the warning, because we can get trapped in the world's schemes and human traditions and philosophies. Be careful. And so he said this, see to it, no one takes you captive. Be careful, heed the warning, through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. He's saying, you got to be careful of the world's philosophies and traditions. Some are good, but be careful of those that want to draw you away from Christ. And how are we careful? How do we heed the warning? Stay in Christ. Be rooted and built up and deepened and growing in him. Or in other words, beware of anything that pulls you away from Christ. False teaching always begins by shifting your gaze away from Jesus. So here's Paul's warning. See to it. Do anything you can. Do everything you can. See to it that it doesn't suck you in. So here's some examples of false teachings that are out there. Christ is good, but not enough. You need Christ plus. You see the heresy coming in again? Real spirituality is found somewhere else. No, it's not. A guy wrote a book called Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Meaning we have everything that we need in and through Christ. Paul makes one of the strongest Christological statements in Scripture. He says, in Christ, you know it's strong, you know it's good when it begins that way. In Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. This destroys every attempt to diminish Christ. He's not a spiritual guide. He's not just a moral teacher or one among many mediators. He is God in the flesh. And so, because Christ is full, you are full. Here's Paul's logic. Christ is fully God. You are united to Christ. Therefore, you lack nothing. Here it is again. Christ is fully God. You are united to Christ. Therefore, you lack nothing. You have been filled in Him. Your identity is complete in Him. Paul's message is not try harder, it's stay rooted. It's not find something new, but hold fast to Christ. Let Him hold fast to you. Not become complete, but live from the completeness you already possess. Christ is the fullness of God, and you are full in Him. One who lived from the fullness of Christ was Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom. She was an ordinary Dutch watchmaker's daughter. Nothing about her seemed extraordinary. But when the Nazis invaded the Netherlands, her family opened their home to hide Jewish neighbors. Corrie later said that they did it not because they were brave, but because Christ filled them with a love that left no room for fear. When she and her sister Betsy were arrested and sent to Ravensbrück, the brutal concentration camp, Corrie expected her faith to collapse. Instead, she found that Christ's fullness held her together when everything else was stripped away. At night, women crowded around her as she read from a smuggled Bible. In a place designed to crush hope, the light of Christ kept rising. After the war, Corey met a former guard where she was speaking who had walked down the aisle. She noticed him in the back. She recognized him. He was one of the guards at Ravensbrück Camp. And he asked for forgiveness. She froze. She couldn't lift her hand. So she prayed, "Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness." And in that moment, she felt Christ's love flow through her like a current. She took his hand, not in her strength, but in Christ's fullness living through her. Corey's life reminds us that the fullness Paul speaks of here in Colossians 2 is real. Christ fills ordinary people with extraordinary grace. Enough to love, enough to endure, and enough to forgive in ways human strength never could. So how do we live rooted and growing deep in a shallow world? Paul encourages us this morning. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, oftentimes we cannot take a next step. You provide the way for us. You provide the strength. And your Spirit guides us. May we walk with Jesus. Continue to walk with Him all of our days. Thank you for your grace and your love. And Lord, we boast in Jesus Christ. May we go from this place once again restored and renewed and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.